tell me how long you guys have been together.
We've been together, Mike and I started in 2009.
Okay.
And Abe joined 2011. And Adam joined at the beginning of this year. Does that sound all right?
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
So you two as a drummer and a singer-guitarist.
Yeah.
How long did that work out? Like, I'm not a musician. So how long did that work out to where you were able to write several songs and perform them really well before, I guess, needing to add more members or wanting to add more members?
It was probably a year and a half, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we played together we actually started out as a three-piece with a bass player, and then ended up starting the Paragraphs as a two-piece, but not on purpose. We just, you know, didn't have anybody playing bass. We didn't set out to do it. It just happened, but we ended up playing a lot of shows that way, and it was a tour that we went on out to Texas that brought Abe into the band, actually. He was such a good companion on the road that I figured we might as well just put him in the mix.
Sounds good. And so that's how you guys made friends, just playing shows together and just meeting each other at music events and such.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Jesse met Abel through Abel's dad's barbecue joint.
Okay.
And then the rest of us met at an open mic.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I always wondered how music, like when you're on stage, you see a guitarist and you say, hey, I want him to join us. But you always figure there's some sort of commitment already, you know, with that other band.
Yeah,
but who knows? I guess didn't that happen with the Beatles? Wasn't George Harrison already playing with someone else, and
yep.
They just took him away?
I think they swiped him, yeah.
Yeah, swiped him. Okay, great. Thanks for that. Question number two. So I don't have a recording, but I remember seeing you guys at the Belly Up and listening to your music. I thought that the six or seven songs that you played that night, it was really hard to peg your sound. Like, you guys aren't hard rock, or you're not really indie rock. It's just kind of a combination of a lot of things. So I wanted to know, who are your biggest musical influences? If you can name them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say, well, we're all individually influenced by other musicians. For me personally, doo-wop, anything from the late 50s, early 60s is a huge influence on me.
Yeah, sure. I thought I heard a little bit of like rockabilly. I don't know if that's
probably
right.
From the doo-wop.
The doo-wop.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the vocalist. So, are there any vocalists that just stand out as when you were growing up, or you know, when you started getting into music? Like,
oh yeah, certainly.
Like him?
Del Shannon, okay. Dion from Dion and the Belmonts, and probably Roy Orbison.
That's going to come in handy later, okay, that information. What about you guys? Biggest musical influences? When exactly did you become really cognizant that you love music, you know, to that degree?
I'd say for me, music has just been a part of my life since I was a child. My parents were really into it. They were always, you know, really into bluegrass music and playing that around the house. Some of my earliest influences for drums were, you know, the 70s just rock and roll bands. I mean, John Bonham's in there, and then later on, Jimmy Chamberlain. Bill Kreutzmann's always been one of my favorite drummers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with roots music from the 70s, southern guitar rock, and yeah.
Is John Bonham, in your opinion, I've heard this from a lot of drummers, like the greatest drummer of all time?
I don't think so. No? There's so many great players. He's just one guy who played the drums. He's amazing.
He's an amazing rock and roll drummer. Mm-hmm.
But I think the reason people talk about him so much is he's one of those guys that when you're a kid, you look at and you just go, I want to do that. I want to play like that. You know?
So, you know, he looks so cool doing it.
I just remember, you know, sitting there listening to Led Zeppelin's entire catalog and just, you know, and just trying to play like him.
That's awesome.
You know, but then you know, as you progress, you start doing that with other people as well, you know.
Right. There's this episode of Freaks and Geeks. You guys know that show?
Heard of it.
You know, from I guess 7 years ago or something like that.
Isn't it the same dude that the director that did the 40-Year-Old Virgin and all those, right?
Oh, yes, I think so.
I have seen some of the episodes of this with James Franco.
Franco, and then the tall guy, who's also kind of like a comedian. He's dating that actress right now.
Seth Rogen? No. Who was it?
I know who you're talking about. He was in that show too, right?
Seth Rogen? He was. No.
Yes, he was.
I was thinking, what's that director's name?
All those guys were in that.
Oh, what's his name?
Judd Apatow.
Yes, Judd Apatow. He directed that show.
Freaks and Geeks, yes.
Okay. But there's a scene, because I watched them all one year, one summer or something. And there's a scene where I think, I can't remember, I think it might be James Franco character. He's listening to records and he says like, oh, John Bonham's the greatest, or he's the greatest guitarist. And then the dad says something like, no, no, the greatest guitar, the greatest drummer is this guy. And he puts on a jazz record. Uh-huh. Do you know who he was talking about?
I don't, because I haven't seen it.
Okay, so we'll look that up.
All right.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure you'd agree, probably. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that to my husband because he's a jazz musician.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
It might be like Buddy Rich or one of the big bands.
Right. I was thinking
it's
Buddy Rich.
It's got to be Buddy Rich.
You know, that's one of the guys that, you know, there.
And then that young character was like, oh, you're right. Like, he does blow John Bonham out of the water or something. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. There's so many styles.
Sure.
You know, you can't peg one as the best, but
you can be
inspired by people, that's for sure.
I'll have to go back and research my Freaks and Geeks. Okay, question number three. Are you getting tired, Abe?
I'll
do this, yeah. Actually, maybe I'll try, because that way I can photograph you nicely. Or I'll pass it off.
All right.
So tell me about your full-length record. I have it in my bag now, I think.
Yeah.
What was the recording process like for you guys? 3 days in the studio, 10 days.
No, this actually took a lot. That would be amazing. We had set out to do probably 3 days.
Actually. That was our plan.
It was our plan.
Yeah.
3 days in the studio, and then, that was the plan. Three days in the studio, all the songs done. We had a bunch of songs written for it, and we ended up going to the studio, recording one of the tracks. We weren't happy with the recording, and we kind of went back to the drawing board, and we scratched a lot of songs and started rewriting. And then we found White Horse through Aaron Swanton, who wanted to work with us, and we wanted to work with him, and that pretty much took off from there. That's kind of how we got in touch with the Dead Feather Moon guys, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Was it they used the same recording studio?
Yeah, they were recording their EP and I think finishing their record as soon as we were starting ours.
Okay,
yeah.
That sounds good. And that's the first full-length.
It's our debut full-length. Mike and I put out two EPs before that.
I think I saw a little video on that, which is another question. What's the process leading up to that? Do you guys write together? Do you all come with an idea to a rehearsal? Do you flesh out a song? What's the writing process, or how do you come up with those 10, 9, 12 songs?
In the past it's been, I usually come up with a melody and share it with everybody. Since Adam has joined the band, it's been more like we come up with something sporadically on the spot, which has always happened. That's how Mike and I have always wrote songs together, just sporadically, just on the spot, and a whole song will come out.
You see them spring forth and then just go with it.
But now,
some make it, some don't.
Now we run it pretty much through everybody, and after it goes through all four filters, it becomes what we sound like.
Okay. That's pretty good. And so, is there ever any disagreement? I mean, you were talking a little bit about the 50s doo-wop. You're talking a little bit about blues from the 70s. You guys haven't divulged your tastes yet. Is there ever any disagreement or like, don't handle it that way? Or
not from the music sense. I don't think we have any disagreements.
Not
I think
in our music, but in our musical tastes. Yes.
Okay. Sure. Musical tastes, sure, but when we
make
get
fun
together
of each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's actually kind of surprising, the music that comes out, you know, in our practice studio. I feel like we all kind of know if it's working or if it's not. We seem to kind of share that.
Yeah.
You know, you just know right away.
That sounds good. I guess it's part of staying together. If you're going to disagree a lot, you'll probably say, well, forget it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would definitely agree, because for me, I came at it more from the songwriting, you know, as a solo songwriter playing acoustic for a while, and was always a huge fan of the band, first as Mike and Jess were a two-piece, and then once Abel joined the fold, and just hearing the way that the sound has developed over the years, and the way that it all comes together, you know, a lot of it's different than what I was into, and, you know, the stuff that I played and the stuff that I listened to for a long time, and I like it so much more, you know.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. This is always great for me to ask musicians what they do, because, like I mentioned, I'm not a musician, but I like music, so it's always interesting.
But it's good. It's questions we never think about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do we do when we get together?
How does the
sound come out?
Just jam.
Yeah, it's just jamming.
Okay, let's see. So now that you're a four-member band, I guess you sort of answered this a little bit, but are there any readjustments? Choosing songs that were originally written just by a duo reworking them as a four piece. Anything that you've had to kind of get used to over these last couple of months, 3-4 months?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. There definitely is. And with that has come a completely different sound than what it sounded like when Mike and I were just writing together.
Do you think that there's going to be a continued evolving of the band? I mean,
I certainly hope so.
I mean, one of my favorite bands, for instance, is Radiohead. And you see the first one, Pablo Honey, that they put out. And then they went to OK Computer. And then they went to Kid A. You know, I mean, I guess I'll have to come back next year and ask you guys the same question. Like, what's happened since?
Just since forming a four-piece, everything's changed. Every day is different. We've added more sounds. We've added keyboards. It's like anything. You get bored with one thing. And so if you can figure out another little niche or something else to add to it, you're like, you love it. I mean, it's exciting again.
Yeah.
You like restart that, you know, that fire every time you go in there.
I think if we weren't evolving, we probably wouldn't still do it.
Yeah.
We
stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've always just changed. I think when Abe joined the band, it wasn't so much as an evolution as it was what we always heard, I think. You know, because when we recorded our first EP, Jesse actually played the bass on it. And we continued to play as a two-piece, and we recorded our second EP with no bass. We wanted to kind of hear that live sound that we got. And I think overall, we were looking at the songs like they should have bass, that should have been there all along. The live show had energy to carry it through, but when Adam joined, it wasn't so much like, here's the songs and this is the way they should be. Now things are starting to change. Yeah. Like, here's what we can do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot more possibilities, I think. And that's something that I know Jesse's always heard in the music that he writes, and now it's a reality. Yeah. So it's pretty fresh. I mean, you've only been playing with us 6 months or so? I mean, is it longer now? I got a bad
September, beginning of this year, so yeah.
So I would say in a year from now, you know, we'd probably sound like a completely different band.
Sounds good.
But in a good way, you know?
Good. Well, let's see. That kind of leads me to another question. Not the order I was going to, but you have your Kasbah show coming up, a couple weeks, week and a half. What else can we look forward to from the band in the next 6 months, year? What are your long-term goals, boys?
We have our debut full-length record coming out October 7th. The first single from that will be a song called There's Nothing You Can Do. Okay. And that's coming out September 8th.
No, this Friday.
This Friday, okay. Actually.
August 31st.
And after that, after the Kasbah show, we have House of Blues on October 16th.
Okay.
And we're playing a show in Joshua Tree after that. And we're just going to keep on writing. We already have half a new record on top of the songs that the record that we're about to release. So
yeah, we plan on starting
recording for that before the new year starts.
Yeah.
Before the new year happens.
Okay, so around the holidays.
Yeah.
Holiday time. Okay, wow. Let me take a poll. You raise your hand or say yes, no, yes, no. What do you like better? Writing, rehearsing, or performing live? Or would you say it's just the balance of both on any given day? Like Tuesdays you like being by yourself, but Fridays you like performing.
I think that the moments that I cherish the most are the ones where we're writing together.
Okay.
And something happens where we're all just like, this is happening.
Yeah.
I'd say that the live is a different kind of payoff. That's kind of the hard work. We practice 4 or 5 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And when we play a live show and it's in sync and the crowd is there with their energy, then that's just magic that can't really be described.
Payoff, yeah.
Do you guys get nervous before a show?
Absolutely. Of course.
I do. Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, who gets the most nervous? And Adam, am I gonna nominate you as the least nervous member?
No.
Best at hiding.
I definitely wouldn't call myself least nervous, so I'll take best at hiding it. That's fair.
That's very good. Okay, very good. So then my next question then is, this is a good one, what do you like about that San Diego music scene? And how is it different from Texas, Virginia, Nebraska?
I don't think any of us played in our local music scenes.
Okay.
That's true.
So it's hard to say what's different, but if I could guess, I'd say what I like about it is that there's opportunity.
Okay.
You know, I feel like San Diego, one of the best things about the music scene here is that you can be a big fish in a small pond. Mm-hmm. It's a small town, relatively. You know, it's easy to make contacts with all the clubs, mm-hmm. you know, with all the people who are mm-hmm. involved in the music scene. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like New York City mm-hmm. or even LA where everything's so spread out and there's mm-hmm. so many names and so many bands. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to be able to know people on a first name basis yeah. mm-hmm. and, you know, be able to email or call and, mm-hmm. you know, see what's going on.
So everybody's very welcoming.
Town, yeah. yeah, and, yeah. you know, we've had, you know, of course, good and bad experiences, but we've got great friends who we play music with on a regular basis mm-hmm. who are in bands that we respect, mm-hmm. you know, and we like what they're doing. And, you know, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It pushes us.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Having friends in other bands that are close. Mm-hmm. They're doing something great and new. We want to get there.
Is there any ever, like, competition? I mean, is it a big enough town to where you say, well, I'm playing the Casbah, great. Well, I'm playing the Belly Up or
I think that there is a healthy competition
yeah, absolutely.
Kind of thing. I think all of, at least the friends that we have in the bands and stuff, we all push each other.
Yeah.
And nobody's like, ha ha, I have this, no. and you don't. Everyone's just kind of like, I got this, and I'm going to try and get you on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's good.
And that's the
good.
Way we are in North County. I would venture to say that that's not the way anyone I've had an experience with is in San Diego, but.
Okay. That's pretty good. Yes. Sounds nice. You guys are friendly. Friendly folks. This is kind of a fun one. Kind of one of my last ones before the official last one. As kids, many kids want to grow up and it's like, I want to be that, you know, I want to be a rock and roll star. I want to be a musician. Were you always like that or did you want to be an astronaut or something when you were a kid?
I think, you know, when I was young, of course, I wanted to be a firefighter and an astronaut and all that, but I got my first drum set when I was in seventh grade and yeah, I mean, I've been obsessed with music since then. I don't think there was ever this idea that, you know, I want to do that professionally. It was just, I want to do that, yeah. you know? And I've continued to do it to this day, and, you know, no qualms about it, for sure. Yeah.
Good.
It's only getting better.
Good. Yeah. How about you, Adam?
My plan was to be the starting shortstop for the New York Mets. It didn't pan out. Didn't pan out, but the way they've played over the last few years, it's, you know, eh. So I mean, I've loved music my entire life. It's always been a huge part of my life. But I picked up my first guitar when I was 18. And so I was a freshman in college and was kind of reaching a point where I was switching gears from one thing to the other, having spent more time playing sports and stuff as a kid, but having always written a lot of poetry and loved music and wanted to understand, you know, kind of just how to fuse that together and realized I needed a guitar to do it. And so I kind of started moving that direction. And yeah, just haven't put it down since.
Love the Yankees still might call. Yeah, you never know.
I'm not playing the Yankee, for the fucking Yankees. Are you kidding me? It's the Mets.
You never
go. Desperate.
If the Yankees called, I would decline.
I would love that.
You would not.
Sorry, guys. I got a good thing going on out here.
Take that $10 million contract and shove it.
This is re-recorded.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
You didn't hear this. So if the Yankees were like, we're about to pick that
yeah,
guy up.
We're about
now
to pick him up.
I'm willing to have that problem in a couple weeks if they decide to call me.
How about you?
They can call my bluff.
I've always loved to be the center of attention. I've always liked that kind of thing. I liked doing like drama in school and acting, and then I've always loved music. So I guess when I stopped growing at like 10, I decided I wasn't going to be a basketball player or a superstar, so I better learn something quick. And I actually started on the drums and played that through high school and a couple of horrible bands, and then yeah, just picked up the bass not too long ago and found out, yeah, it's a lot of fun. People look at you. You know,
you're out in front.
You're out in front. You don't have to be a stupid drummer. In the back.
Oh. I'm
going to
punch you.
Yeah, very outgoing. I love making music. I love sharing music. And I love playing with these guys. So
sounds good.
Very rewarding.
And Jesse, for you, your lifelong dream as a kid?
Lifelong dream as a kid was to play music.
Yeah, he had no other goal.
That's pretty much the only thing I've ever been told that I've been good at. So that's kind of what I stick with, what I knew best.
Sounds good. Pretty good. Okay, so this is kind of fun, the next few. Let me get really close. I did this with the Dead Feather Moon guys. I named some bands, current or old, just things that popped into my head. And then they voted thumbs up or thumbs down if they liked the band or didn't like the band. So you guys said that you had different musical tastes, so okay. This might be interesting. And I'm not going to, like, out you. I'm not going to say, Adam hates Bowie.
but anybody hates Bowie, I'm going to punch.
Likes Bowie.
This might start a fight.
Somebody's going to end up in the pool.
Yes.
Actually, we are going to end up in the pool at some point.
Yeah, okay, good. Sounds good. I'll take a picture of that.
Cool.
So I'll just say, like, okay, majority likes Bowie or majority hates Bowie or something like that. Okay. So the first one, get your thumbs ready or raise hands.
Hands on your buzzer.
Hands on your buzzer. First one, Bob Dylan.
Love him.
Okay. Unanimous. Majority loves Bob Dylan. Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a split. Okay. That's half-half. Yes and no. Journey. Okay, that's... no. Unanimous.
Secretly, yes. Though.
Sometimes.
When no one's it's more looking. Than a feeling, guys.
Up until that Sopranos finale, maybe.
Sex Pistols.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of a reluctant yes over there. Okay, so, they but majority yes.
Yeah. Majority.
Majority yes. Again, this is random. I don't know where I came up
go
with
for
these.
It.
Wu-Tang Clan. Okay, unanimous, yes. Black Eyed Peas.
Wavering.
Okay, I'm going for a almost unanimous no, but 3-1. Spice Girls.
I'm not even gonna answer.
I know, I just watched the Olympics, people.
I would date any of them.
No.
Date Scary Spice?
I was trying to.
Eddie Murphy
she said,
did.
She said no.
So unanimous no on that one.
She didn't answer your email.
Bon Iver. He had a big year a few years ago. Okay, unanimous yes. The Bee Gees.
They had a purpose.
So 3-1, yes. Blondie.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, awesome. I love Debbie Harry.
Me too.
Unanimous yes. And the last one, the Beatles. Unanimous. Yes. Very good.
You said the Stones. That would have been...
Yeah.
The Stones are...
Okay, so
better.
Stones are better for you guys. Okay. So my next...
I don't know if they're better, but...
I would say Beatles over the Stones.
I would say Stones over the Beatles.
Anyway. I would say Stones over the Beatles also.
Any day.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, Stones get funny when they get weird. Beatles get weird.
I like weird. So freaking talented. So freaking weird.
But compared to the... I mean...
Insane. That's what I'm saying. It just depends.
Let me ask
just
you a
depends
question.
On what you're feeling
are
that
left?
Day.
How many stones are left?
Good point. Yeah. Yeah.
But one of them died, and it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, it was.
Keith Richards died like 10 times.
Yeah.
Let's face it. The Stones are really dead. They can't really be.
Somebody keeps on giving that guy. Yeah.
Actually,
an epic and when he does, he will find a way to snort his own ashes when that happens.
he did write that biography. I didn't read it, but I think he did mention. Where he said he did like die twice or something.
Oh yeah, totally from heroin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speedballs.
That guy, man. I don't know how he does. It's amazing.
So my last...
I'm sorry.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, that's they all have like tons.
He's got... Yeah, they don't claim them.
Yeah. They have lots of kids and lots of marriages. Yeah. So the last question, official last question, now that I've put you through that list, who do you recommend I listen to? Like, what should I go out and get, buy, put on my record?
Delta Spirit.
Got him. Delta Spirit. Damn. So Mike recommends Delta Spirit. Adam?
He stole mine. I'm going to go, my favorite artist of all time is Ryan Adams.
Okay.
And his he's got so much stuff beyond the stuff that hit the radio and beyond the couple of albums that went big that I love his songwriting. And his earlier stuff, Whiskey Town. If you haven't listened to Whiskey Town, go big for that.
Yeah. Ryan Adams, Delta
He's got
Spirit.
A lot of good stuff.
Okay, sounds good. And then, Abe, you recommend?
Right now, I'm really into Reckless Eric.
Okay.
And actually, Jesse put him out to me maybe a year or two ago, and I just started getting into him and like exploring him, and it's so much fun.
You said Reckless Eric.
Yes.
Like E-R-I-C?
Yep.
Okay, sounds good. And then Jesse, you recommend?
I'm going to recommend three for you. Dirty Beaches, Badlands.
Okay.
Psychic Dance Hall.
Okay.
Self-titled. That's off of a local label in San Diego called Art Fag.
Okay.
Phenomenal. And Sam Phillips, Omnipop.
Okay.
Get the Sam Phillips Omnipop.
Okay.
Listen to track number 4. and then text me and tell me what you think.
He's 1950, Sam Phillips, blues, no.
Sam Phillips, female.
Female, okay. Ooh, all right, wow. So who am I thinking of?
From Sam Phillips from Sun Records.
Okay, right, okay, ooh. Sounds good. Okay, and that concludes our interview.